And joining us is David Dale. It's lovely to catch up with Dale. David Dale, I haven't seen David in a couple of years now, but I hear him regularly, and it's always good when I do, to discuss, in this instance, pop culture, what people are watching on television and what they should be watching. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, is this a bumper summer? A bumper Christmas for viewers, David?
For viewers, not really.
No.
But we do have a few things. Shall we look at the past? Or look at last night first? Okay, because it was the final of Homeland last night. That was the most exciting thing.
This is the second series of Homeland?
The end of the second series of Homeland.
I'm waiting for it to come out on DVD.
Yeah, you can catch up. Well, the first season was very good. The second season, not so much. Second season was somewhat implausible. There was a little detail in there. I hope I'm not spoiling it for you now. I'm going to have to tell you a few things that you haven't seen yet. They killed the Vice President of the United States by finding out the code number of his pacemaker and disrupting it with a wireless message that changed the speed of the pacemaker in his heart. Now,
well, that sounds like the sort of cunning thing.
Oh, it's just typical of your terrorists.
Cunning.
The question is, can you actually do that? And why haven't they done it before? If it's that easy to assassinate somebody who's got a pacemaker, maybe they should worry about future presidential candidates and, you know, check them out on those matters. And you just cannot stand if you've got a pacemaker because the terrorists...
You're too vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So there were a number of implausibilities this season, but it was still great fun. And last night's episode was a knockout. It took us, you know, point of cliffhanger, you know, it was end of season with a cliffhanger. Now, I won't get too far with that because I'm sure some of your listeners have recorded it and won't have seen it yet. But there was a spectacular explosion, and we realised that this season the terrorists won. Not only did they knock off the vice president a couple of episodes ago, but last night they managed to take out most of the CIA, most of the senior ranks of the CIA.
Lord.
The intricacies of that I'll leave later on.
Yeah.
But it did strike me that it's very different, Homeland, from, say, Skyfall, you know, the James Bond movie, in its approach to Secret Services. Whoops, now this is my phone, which should not be ringing, and I'm terribly sorry about that.
That's all right.
My phone is here, I should explain, so that I can see the ratings come in. I'm going to be able to tell you.
On last night's episode.
Yeah, on last night's episode. They come in about 8:45 on my phone.
Now, Homeland is made by the same producer who made 24, and it has that sense of ever-building tension,
David. Yeah, but also this real cynicism about the Secret Services, that basically the CIA in Homeland is represented as an incompetent, arrogant organisation that goes around killing people.
Yeah.
Last night, very refreshingly, the hitman refused to do the hit. He actually exercised his conscience, which I thought was a very good message. But suggest that there's not much line of command in the CIA if their hired hitmen are saying, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to actually kill that person.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, would James Bond do that?
No, he wouldn't.
James Bond, especially in Skyfall, says whatever mummy says is right.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
And I think it's fantastic that the Americans will do such a sort of cynical take on their own secret services. And that's probably why it's been so successful. In Australia this year, there was a bit of a panic at Channel 10, a bit of a panic about everything at Channel 10, really, but in particular about Homeland, because when it started, it was only getting about 600,000 viewers a night. Previous season was getting about 1 million.
Is that national?
National, yeah. Well, in the capital cities, not across the country as well. But
That's nothing.
That's nothing. Exactly.
Nothing.
And you go, what's happened?
Yeah.
So Channel 10 thought, it must be because everybody's stealing it off the internet. You know, the American episodes are on a couple of weeks earlier, and so all the geeks go on there and steal the episodes. Well, it turned out that wasn't quite the case. It was more that people were recording. I mean, television now is massively watched. You know, there's a theory that we don't watch TV as much as we used to. That's not true. It's just that we don't watch it when it's broadcast.
Because we don't want the ads.
Exactly. We record it and we fast forward through the ads. Yeah. And that's what people seem to have been doing with Homeland, because 600,000, give or take, were watching it on the night. Yeah. Another 200,000 were watching it within the following few days, fast forwarding through the ads. Yeah. Bad news for the commercial broadcasters, of course.
It is.
And I guess it's why so much product placement is now occurring in most American TV shows, because, you know, you can't escape if it's actually in the show.
Mm.
But in the case of Homeland, I haven't noticed too much product placement, not like Skyfall, where there's ads all over the place, you know, James Bond's watch and James Bond's car and all those things.
Yeah. But well, the product placement would be the sort of weaponry used, David, the Buckmaster 6 semi-automatic rifle, etc.
Yes.
That's, I assume, what that's all about.
Yeah, I guess the NRA has got an hour-long ad there.
You've got it.
All right, they're shooting, except for the hitman last night who chose not to use his weapon.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty shocking. Now, I hear a sound which might tell me that I'm going to be able to, here we go, daily overnight. This is my message that I get from Oztam. Yeah. So this is live action listening we're doing here. And it says, overnight ranking reports by demographic.
Yeah.
So I should be able to tell you even what kind of people were watching last night.
Yeah, okay.
Assuming this will open. Yes, it is opening. Mm-hmm. So we now go down and we discover, it wasn't actually, it ranked below The Manor Reborn. Now, that's pretty odd. Oh. That was the ABC show last night.
So it ranked fourth.
Sixth, actually.
Sixth?
The Manor Reborn was watched by 603,000 people in the mainland capitals, and Homeland was watched by 584,000 it's actually gone down. The grand final episode with the cliffhanger.
Well, they'd be tearing their hair out. They'd be tearing their hair out, wouldn't they?
Well, I suspect maybe they got so annoyed with some of the implausibilities that they started to turn off.
Perhaps. Or maybe people are a little like me now, David, who wait to see the series. I like to see the whole lot. One hit.
Okay, yep. So we should look at DVD sales at some point and see.
That may be where it's going to pick up.
So I can tell you what was the most watched show last night was Channel 9 News. But that was only watched by 992,000. I mean, people basically started going
away. Outside playing.
Yes.
It's good. Right. Healthy for us.
That's right. They're down at the beach having a cocktail or they're in the caravan park.
That's where they
don't get the TV.
Yeah. So, now, are we going to get a normal diet of King of Kings and those sorts of shows tomorrow?
There'll be a few of those things. It's actually going to be a Doctor Who marathon on. All the Christmas episodes shown in the past of Doctor Who are going to be on, but that's on UK TV, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't have pay TV, you're going to miss the Doctor Who marathon.
I'll miss that.
But Boxing Day. Oh, and now, of course, the Queen's Christmas message.
Tomorrow. Ah, of course.
6:50 tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, whether you're a monarchist or whether you're a Republican, there's a very interesting phenomenon that's happened with the Queen. A friend of mine who is a student of linguistics tells me that the Queen has undergone a massive vowel movement over the past three decades.
Really?
That her vowels have changed from, for example, heis to house, and herm to home, and happy to happy. So she's gone from posh, totally esoteric English pronunciation, you know, what we used to call Oxford English, but I don't think they sort of said that in Oxford, that bizarre sort of royal family version of English, to normal English.
If that's for me, David, I'm worried.
Sorry about that. I will now turn this bloody thing off. We've had the ratings. We don't need any more phone calls.
She's not going to use like, is she?
Oh,
yeah,
like.
As in, it's kind of what...
Yeah, well, that'll be next year's. I don't know that's going to happen in this year.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. Bottom line. She'll probably say bottom line.
Bottom line.
I think we should watch it and figure out how much she's moved. Because if you look at the first broadcast she did in the 1950s, she just sounded like somebody from another planet. I mean, not even like an English person. Mm. And that was born to rule, I guess, that form of English.
I suppose so.
Now she wishes to communicate.
But the Australian vernacular has changed as well. If you listen to, say, Don Bradman talking in the 1930s...
That's true. They were plummy, weren't they?
Totally different accent.
Yeah. Well, that was probably the ABC's fault. The ABC defined for us back then how we were supposed to talk.
That's right.
And that would be an English version of Australian.
It was.
Whereas now, you blokes on the ABC,
it
ruined our language.
It totally ruined it. David, thank you for this. David is the culture writer for pop culture writer for the Sydney Morning Herald, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up with David a little later on as Summer Breakfast continues. It's 8 minutes to 9 here on RN Summer Breakfast.